With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Baby Steps. Today, we're doing something a little bit different. Today, Ned is out. He's on set, but we decided to carry on without him because, you know what? Today, Rachel and I, we are joined by our wonderful producer and mother of twins, Rachel.
Needs Ned Fulmer
who
anyway?
Needs Ned Fulmer?
I mean, but, we do. We need him.
Well, yeah. I mean, father to my children. But, you know, he's a very good father. He was not there this morning, which we were talking about. Rachel, you deal with this all the time because Watts goes on set early.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you get dressed. Well, with two kids running around.
I direct them to do things for me. Like, can you put those dirty clothes in the laundry? Oh, do you want to come into the shower? Can you wash my legs? They love that. They love a task.
I feel like I do that with Wes, but he just looks at me and goes, no.
Ain't that just like a man?
He looks me straight in my eye sockets. And I say, hey, Wes, can you do this for me? And he goes, no. And then he runs off and goes and bangs on something. So I have to cut my shower short and run out.
I hear knives. Oh, no.
It's true. Well, okay. So today, because Ned is not here, we are going to take this opportunity to talk about things that moms talk about and don't always talk to their partners about.
Yeah. Like, what are the thoughts and concerns we have about, like, postpartum body issues,
yes,
about anxiety around our babies and ourselves.
Yes.
That, like, you don't want someone to be like, oh, but you're beautiful. You want someone to say, oh, I think that too.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I cannot tell you. Okay. My wonderful, wonderful husband. I cannot tell you how many times I've been like, oh, gosh, you know, I just don't feel like myself. And he's like, you're beautiful. I'm like, that's not helpful.
Yes, Watts does that too. They're very, very sweet. And I'm like, right, but what I'm concerned with is how I think I look and feel.
Exactly.
And I'm not actually concerned how you feel about me because I know you love me and think I look great, but I don't think I look great.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I know you're going to tell me that because we're maybe 8 weeks out of labor and maybe we haven't had sex as much as we normally do because I just birthed a child from my vagina. And so I appreciate that you're saying that you think that I'm beautiful, but I just don't feel sexy right now.
Nope.
And so let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about partum body image, prepartum body image, postpartum body image, how it changes, how it stays the same.
How did you feel when you got pregnant for the first time? How did you feel about the body changes that you knew you were coming, and how did you feel when they did?
You know what? I had a really difficult time the first go around
because
in the first half of your first pregnancy, at least with mine, maybe not with yours because you had two.
I had a duplex, so it was different.
I did not look pregnant.
Yes, I remember.
I did not look pregnant. You of course you remember because that was actually when we met. We were on set together. We were shooting our like realtor.com thing.
Yes, and we were demoing your house and it had a very tight deadline to actually like demo your real house so you could start the renovations before you had Wes. And we weren't shooting the rest of it for like two more months because this was like early mid-December, right before the holidays, right before everyone broke, and you didn't look pregnant. And I had the brilliant idea to put a fake pregnancy belly on you to match later. And you were like, oh, I love it.
Now I finally look pregnant.
I look pregnant.
Because I felt pregnant.
Right.
You know, like in the first, I would say the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, you don't want to tell anybody. You don't want to tell anybody because, you know, there's always that worry about miscarriage or just something going wrong.
Having to tell everybody about your miscarriage is just, it's not that you can't tell people. You should if you want to.
Absolutely.
But then you have to like bring them into the emotional like tornado that is like you processing a miscarriage.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's just some grief that you don't want to share with everybody,
right?
And so, you know, so it, with that fear in mind, a lot of people don't talk about pregnancies within the first trimester, and we didn't. We didn't really tell that many people. We told you, of course, because we had to. But I remember not looking pregnant. I did not have a bump. I did not, you know, I wasn't showing at all, but my pants didn't fit.
Right.
My pants didn't fit and I didn't feel great. I felt bloated. I just felt
so icky.
You feel so icky. You feel a little barfy. You feel a little gassy.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel great.
No.
It doesn't feel great. It's like a really, really
I'm just holding in farts and feeling nauseous and look chubbier than usual, but I'm not pregnant and no one knows. Or I'm not looking pregnant and no one knows.
I found that very, very difficult.
Yeah.
I found it so difficult. Because like I was on camera all the time and I was just like, I don't feel good.
No.
I feel fat.
Yeah.
I feel fat. And I would like tell Ned that and he's like, well, you're pregnant. And I'm like, well, nobody knows that I'm pregnant.
Yes, you do. Okay. But then when the bump came.
I don't even remember when the bump actually came because I feel like I had been faking it for so long.
I think it was like 6 or 7 months.
Oh,
7 months. It's pretty late.
It was far along.
For first pregnancies.
I gave birth at 8 months.
Right. So you didn't even get to the end.
I didn't get to the good part where you had a big old bump and you fit into all the maternity clothes as intended, you know? What was it like for you? When did you pop, as they call it?
Well, I started showing a lot earlier because I had two babies and I'm a much smaller person.
You are a very small person.
And on top of that, I had no core strength to begin with. I had no abs holding them in. So I mean,
That is a thing. Having core strength, like your ab muscles will hold that bump in until it cannot possibly hold it anymore.
True. So my bump came out like, I don't know, 5 months, maybe. I feel like it was like 4 or 5 months where we were filming something and I got out of a car and you were actually the one. You go, you look pregnant. And I was like, I do?
God, please tell me I knew that you were pregnant at that time. Oh, my God.
You knew. Everyone long knew.
Okay.
I told everyone right around 12 weeks because we were painting this office.
Right.
And I was like, I would like to leave before you paint every wall in this space.
To be here.
And it's not that ventilated and I sit in here. I was like, I would like to go home because I'm pregnant. And because I had two, so they just popped really early. A fun thing that an OB did, and I don't know if this is good science or not, but apparently however many inches, centimeters, I don't know, he was measuring my belly, and however many measurements equates, like the number equates to how many far weeks along you usually are.
Right.
So it's like 30 inches at 30 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, it must be inches. And anyways, at 25 weeks, I was measuring like 39 weeks. I was about 2 months ahead.
What?
And that is totally correct for twins.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Because it should be like about double.
Yeah. And do not, if you're finding out you're pregnant with twins, do not Google 9 months twin pregnancy.
Oh my gosh.
I Googled, image searched, I looked, and I cried.
Oh,
I just cried big tears. And both of my friends who are urogyn, like OBGYN surgeons, one who was also pregnant at the time, both of them were like, we have ways to fix that. There are things called tummy tucks. If you end up with like all of this extra like skin uh-huh. we have ways to fix that. And I was just like, okay.
It's scary.
It is.
It's scary to think about, especially in your first one, mm-hmm. because you don't know what you're going to look like in 9 months. You don't know what it's going to feel like or what's going to happen.
And I realize that we're sitting here and we're talking about this and we are pretty like thin women. But whoever you are and whatever your natural body shape is or the one you work really hard for or the one you have, it's going to change.
Right.
And that can feel really intimidating.
It can be really scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you find out that you're pregnant, mm-hmm. I remember thinking like I was excited, but mm-hmm. I was also anxious because I was like, my life is going to change. My body is going to change. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can't control this.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you really have to kind of let go. Mm-hmm. You have to let go of, and I am a person who I like to work out. I like yes. to, I like to feel strong.
Uh-huh.
And I like to feel in control of my body.
Yeah.
And so letting go of that control was really, really difficult for me.
It was really hard. I think you and I were talking about a second baby for you. Maybe you were already pregnant with Finn. And you were like, I just don't know when I'm going to get my body back.
Yeah.
Like, to not get it back as into not looking pregnant, but get it back as into, like, it's mine.
Right.
It's not my baby's.
Well, because the process of getting pregnant, then being pregnant, mm-hmm. and then postpartum, mm-hmm. breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Like I breastfed Wes for a year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I can go as long with Finn. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of my goal. And by breastfeeding, I think everybody who's listening to Baby Sex Steps knows that it is not 100% breastfeeding. It is pumping.
You were still pumping milk.
Exactly.
That is breastfeeding.
I was still pumping milk. But that... I'm still not in control of my body.
Yeah.
You know, that's 2 years mm-hmm. where your body's not yours.
Yeah.
It is.
So now 4 years. I actually had someone say to me, someone who I love very dearly, but say, oh, you're really lucky you popped out two at once because it's so much harder to lose the weight after a second baby. And
wow.
I was like, okay.
Thank you.
But two babies is very hard. And I'm also having my own struggles, you know, but okay.
But you're so lucky. You're so lucky.
And I think she just meant like she had a hard time after her second baby, which
Absolutely.
Is a common
oh yeah
thing. And I get that.
Can confirm.
can confirm. Have you ever considered, I'm asking this because I think about it.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever considered not having a third because you don't want to have to go through pregnancy and try to lose weight again?
You know, it's really hard for me to admit this because I know that, like, you know, we love our kids and we want more kids.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the answer is yes. I think about it. I think about the amount of time that my body is not mine again.
Mm-hmm.
Another 2 years. I think about... I think about getting older.
Right. No one in this room is getting younger.
Right.
We are securely in our mid-30s, Ariel
Absolutely.
And I.
I
am... We are not 27-year-old moms. Mm-mm. Bless them. But
wow.
It's a different ballgame.
It is. It is absolutely. I mean, I am firmly in the geriatric pregnancy mm-hmm. area. Like, I am 35. And mm-hmm. if I get pregnant again, I... Well, so 2 points make a line, right?
Mm-hmm.
There with Wes, I gained about 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to, like, I was able to work out again, I, you know, kind of got back into it and I was able mm-hmm. to lose the weight and I felt really, really good about my body. Mm-hmm. And then with Finn, I gained about 35 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still, you know, I am trying, but, you know, there are a lot of things that make it a little bit harder to mm-hmm. lose the weight. And
you shouldn't have to, like, feel pressure to lose the weight.
Exactly.
But there's some sort of line between you wanting to feel like yourself again,
mm-hmm.
you having internalized what society wants you to do. I know I've internalized it. Like, my inner Absolutely. Monologue, is not always very kind to myself.
Absolutely not.
And you take on a whole psychological and emotional overhaul when you become a mom. And I can only imagine when you add a child, you sort of do it again. And although there are many parts to that that are very beautiful, you know, you have little parts of yourself and your heart that like live outside your body and grow and become people who exist in the world. Yeah. It's wild and magical. There's also part of you who really longs for who you were pre-kids, and looking what you looked like pre-kids is part of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here we are talking about losing the weight, but
yeah,
the thing is, it's not about losing the weight.
Yeah, it's not about like,
it's, you know,
10 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds, whatever it is.
No, it's about, it's not even about feeling like I did before. Mm-hmm. It's about feeling like myself and mm-hmm. not having that reminder of being, not being in control of my body,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And maybe that is something that is particular to me, or, you know, particular mm-hmm. to us, where that control is important. Mm-hmm. It certainly is important to me. Just having that control over my body and knowing that, you know, I think that's what makes it really difficult for people who, like, if they get a broken leg or something like that, like they, mm-hmm. they're out of, they don't have control of what they can do anymore. And, with Finn, it was particularly hard because I couldn't be active during my pregnancy.
Rest.
I was on bed rest.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That was one of the hard, like, there are so many things that are much harder than bed rest.
You
know, but for me, for my mental health, that was a very, very difficult time.
Totally.
And being able to be active again and kind of, you know, have that part of my life back has made it,
And did, when you were on bed rest, was part of your anxiety around gaining weight by not being active?
Yeah, it was.
It makes total sense.
Is that, it feels sad to say out loud,
I know,
but
it does feel sad. June and Puppy can never listen to this episode because I don't want them to think about this stuff ever.
I don't want them to, I don't want any children to ever feel like self-conscious about their bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where... You know,
I think it comes from everywhere.
It comes from everywhere.
It comes from absolutely everywhere.
It does. But like, you know, I see all these moms on Instagram and TikTok, and they have these you know, little babies, and mm-hmm. they look like they were never pregnant at all.
I mean, in LA, we go to playgrounds with actual models. I recognize them from my like Christy Dawn ads.
Stop.
And I'll see them and I'm like, Yeah, you look cool. You look cool.
Yeah, great. Cool.
They're also like 5'9", 6'1", and you're just like, well, you know what?
Living in LA is a trip.
Yeah. LA, New York, it's tough. It's tough. But also, like, I mean, I'm sure they... Actually, here's a good story. There was a friend of mine. I used to work a lot with Justin Timberlake's choreographer.
I was going to say, you still work a lot.
I used to work a lot, but now I work with Ned, Keith, Zach, Eugene. I used to work with Justin Timberlake's choreographer, and his main assistant is one of Justin Timberlake's backup dancers, did all of his tours, is in all of his music videos, and she is lovely. And she reached out to me. She got pregnant last year or 2 years ago, maybe like 8 months behind me. Mm-hmm. And she reached out to me very early on. She's like a professional backup dancer and was like, I am having panic attacks around the clock. How did you get your body back? I don't know what to do. Because her whole livelihood is around being able to be extremely physical. You know, she did the Tennessee Kids Tour. She like she does these really hard things.
Yeah.
And I was like, listen, you're going to be fine. It's going to happen. You're going to be okay. I haven't even begun working out yet. Your body's going to heal itself from this. You freaking out about it is not going to do it, though.
No.
I tried to talk her off the ledge, which I think I did. Her baby's now a year old and super cute, and she looks great. But even if she hadn't lost the weight.
Right.
And it keeps coming back to that, to the weight.
To the weight.
Why is that such a big deal?
What is it about the weight?
Why is that a thing that hangs over us forever? Okay, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone.
Okay, tell me.
I'm going to tell you. I decided I would tell you today. Watson's going to think I'm nuts. Sometimes I look in the mirror. And I look at, basically, I haven't put on like tons and tons of weight, but my body continues to hold the shape of pregnancy. Like my little round belly is just loose and not tight. And it like looks first trimester pregnant. And sometimes I will wish that I was and almost convince myself internally that maybe I could be pregnant to explain how it looks. I was like, if I was just pregnant, that would justify
it would make,
what
like,
I
would
see
make
in the
sense.
Mirror. I even went so far as to take a pregnancy test once, even though I had just had my period. I was like, but I look first trimester pregnant. What is wrong with me? Obviously, I was not pregnant.
How does that make you
feel? I'm not even sure we had had sex that often before that pregnancy test, and I had had my period, and I was just like, you just feel crazy. And I wanted there to be a reason beyond this is just how I look for it to be true.
Right.
And it's not. This is just how I look
this
now.
This is just how we look. Yeah.
This is just what I look like now. Ugh. And I don't love it.
Yeah.
But if I was pregnant, I would like it.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
There's such a dichotomy between the two. It's like when you're pregnant, it's beautiful. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's
you're
empowering.
You're growing a baby.
Exactly.
And then once you pop that baby out, it's ugly. It's fat. It's flubby. It is sticking out of my, you know, yeah, it's really crazy.
It is immediate.
Yeah. And it's internal. It's not like the world. Like the comments on this YouTube video do not need to be, you both look great. The world's opinion really
It
doesn't matter.
It's about your opinion of yourself.
Yeah.
It's about what you see when you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I think motherhood has done this to me where I don't care as much what people see when they look at me. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, see what you want. I'm trying as hard as I can. Really, yeah. Truly. You know, like.
This is, Ariel got here. Ariel had to walk here this morning, and then she ate a snack pack as breakfast.
I did.
She's doing her best, guys.
We're out here, guys. We're just trying to keep it going.
I had some nuts in it. There was some protein.
There was definitely protein. There was more chocolate than protein.
But, you know.
But, you know, chocolate's good, too.
You know what? I had a bite of the girl's birthday cake this morning before I had coffee or a banana or anything else.
Hey. Life comes at you fast. And when there's birthday cake on the counter,
there was.
You got to eat it.
You do.
Because you know what? It's better for me to eat it than for my toddler to eat it.
Right. The girls had woken up and I was like, oh, I have to get that off the counter before they see it. They cannot have birthday cake at 6:30 a.m.
No, absolutely not.
But I can.
Yeah. Because I'm a grown ass adult.
Grown ass woman.
I can have birthday cake whenever the F I want.
I know. Maybe that would help me with not looking first trimester pregnant. But you know, tomatoes, tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's totally fine. There's the shift from being pregnant to being not pregnant.
Yes. And I would even say there's a second shift from having a tiny baby to having a big baby and a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly you're like I read something that was like 9 months in, 9 months out, 9 months to put on the weight, 9 months to take off the weight.
I see those on Instagram all the time.
And then as 9 months approaches, you're like, Well, damn, am I out of time?
Was I supposed to lose all the weight?
Also, at this point, my hair is falling out of my head. Ugh. It looks so scraggly,
don't
so
even
crazy.
Get me started.
Becky at one point thought I had cut kitten bangs when I had like a line of hair right here. I was like, the children did this to me, Rebecca. I would not have done this to myself.
And every like, why did you give them scissors? And you're like, No.
Every YouTube comment is like, why doesn't Rachel brush her hair? I brush my hair. It's sticking out of my head all over. It fell out. It's coming back. It's not good. Even David Dang can't help me enough. He came over.
He
this
can't
is
help
the best
me either.
We can do.
He can't help me either. He like sort of, you know, caresses the little baby hairs along the side of my face. And I'm like,
and
yeah.
He's like, you have to love yourself. And I'm like, yes, I know. But I do not love these baby hairs.
No.
You have more wrinkles than ever. And I don't know if this happened to you, but something happened to me at the same time where I look like worse than ever. You know, my hair's falling out. I'm anemic. I've put on like 10 pounds. I have all these wrinkles and bags under my eyes. It's just like, it's not as youthful as it once was, right?
Yeah.
New cellulite in new places. And then my children look perfect. My children are beautiful. They have big eyes and long eyelashes and cherub cheeks.
Gorgeous
and
skin.
The smoothest, like most taut baby skin. Even all their little rolls are like tight. And when I look at a photo, or when I watch a video or look at a photo of them and myself together, the contrast is very unforgiving.
I see that too. And I have not ever talked about it, but I see it.
Yeah.
I was reading something the other day about how moms never take pictures of themselves with their babies.
They
only
don't.
Take pictures of their babies.
Yep.
Or their babies with dad.
Yeah.
I am so guilty of doing this. I never,
100%.
I'm never like taking a selfie with me and my baby. Like there is no photo documentation of me
of your existence
in the first year of Wes's life.
Oh my gosh. I understand that.
Right. Because I don't want to look back on those photos. And
or
think,
if I
like,
do, sometimes I'm like, oh, triple chin. Gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. While it feels great to get it all out there and just to tell somebody about it.
I know. I mean, we can talk about this too. I really wish we were having wine and cheese and olives right now.
I know.
That would really bring this conversation home.
Seriously. Yeah. But instead we're just guzzling coffee.
Actually, it's not so bad right now. Daylight savings really helped.
It's tough to get up in the morning, though.
It is tough to get up in the morning, and my children didn't go to bed till 9 on Sunday night. But,
same.
But they slept till 7, so.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's not even that I'm not getting enough sleep. I sleep like 8 hours a night. My children sleep through the night now. It's not that I'm not getting enough sleep. It's that every waking moment is dedicated to work or kids. Like, I wake up, my husband has already woken up really early, gotten ready, and gone to set. I'm with the babies until the nanny arrives. Then I'm getting ready for work very quickly. Then I'm coming and doing work. I come home, I take over at dinner time, I feed them, I put them down. I come back to pick. Everyone works like a full hour and a half after when I'm like feeding babies at night. Mm-hmm. So then I pick up all the work at the end of the day. Then, like last night, I don't think I was emailing you back till 9:30, 10 p.m.
Right.
Because I realized we had no food for the babies. So last night I was meal prepping for the babies so the nanny had something to feed them this week and ordering groceries. And then I was getting back to you and then I go to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
And sometime, and my husband comes home at like 9 p.m. He works like 14 hours a day because film life is crazy.
Right.
Sometimes we watch a show. And a lot of times we don't.
You know, we're in the same place. Like, once the kids are down, you know, it's like a mad rush to get the kids down. So basically between the hours of 5 and 8, it's just children. It is feeding children and bathing children and reading to children and dressing children and rocking children until they are asleep.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's after 8.
Oh, God.
Sometimes it's after 8 that they fall asleep. You know, sometimes we'll get Finn down and then we'll go and read to Wes. And, you know, Ned and I, we like switch off back and forth.
I'm
like,
sure.
You can imagine, like, one of us is walking down the hall this way, the other one's walking down the hall this way, and we're just going back
Everyone
and forth
has blankies and lovies and books and bottles.
Do you know where the bottle is? Do you know where this book is? Do you know where this is? Mm-hmm. You know, oh, man. And then, like, the bath time. So Wes is coming into his own right now. Mm-hmm. And when he wants something, he will not take no for an answer. And so every once in a while, I'll be bathing Wes and he'll be like, no, I want to take a bath with Daddy.
Oh, the girls do this sometimes at nighttime. You know what they call it? They call it a threenager.
A threenager, because they want to. Like,
they act like teenagers, these threenagers.
Wow. And that's exactly what he's doing, too. he tests me so often. Where I'll be in bed, we will be on. He has to read mm-hmm. 5 books because God. 5 is like the biggest number that he can think of in his head. No, he actually can count to like 100, but it, like to him, 5 is a big number,
mm-hmm.
And so he always wants 5 crackers or 5 books. 5 trucks, you know, something. 5 loveys. That's why he carries around all those
loveys. He does.
Loveys.
I asked him to count them the other morning when I was over because I was like, 5. How many do you have, Wes?
Yes, 5. So we'll be on book number 5. Mm-hmm. And he'll look at me and he'll go, I need a snack.
No.
I'll say, no, sir.
Wesley James Fulmer.
You have already brushed your teeth.
Uh-uh.
We are in bed. And he will throw a hissy fit if he doesn't get a snack. And by snack, he wants like a graham cracker or, and I'm like, absolutely not. You had a full dinner. Like, no. Yeah. And I find it very, very difficult to say no to him because mm-hmm. he really does try to stand up for himself. Like he'll push and push and push and push and push.
And then you're just like pushing right back and you're like, how is this going to resolve? It's 8 p.m.
Yeah. It's hard. It feels bad. I don't like saying no to him. You
know? I know.
Especially when it's for a snack.
I know. And like, then you're like, is he hungry?
Is he hungry? Exactly.
He's not
hungry.
He just wants to see like where the boundaries are and what he can get away with.
I know.
Which is probably, I overheard this parent at the park the other day being like, she just lies to us and we don't know why, talking about what looked like his 5 or 6 year old running around.
Yeah.
And I stopped myself from piping in and telling him. And I wanted to be like, she's lying to you a lot because it's a new developmental skill she has in her cognitive arsenal. And she just learned how to do it, much like rolling or walking or counting or talking. And so she's feeling the need to compulsively do it to figure it out.
Yeah.
She wasn't able to lie before this. She's able to lie now. He wasn't able to push you back before this, but he is now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel good.
It does not feel good. There are a lot of things that he does that are really funny, though. I was just thinking about this the other day where both of my kids are just developmentally, they're just like next level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, when did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Wes has started to tell time.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, he has. So we have one of those hatch rests that has the time on it. So he can't tell it time on a clock, but he can. He knows
can
the numbers.
Can any of us tell time on a clock anymore? I think I lost that skill in 2010.
It takes me about 60 seconds to be like, oh, God, what does that actually mean?
That's the minute hand?
Yeah. Yeah. But he knows the numbers. And so he can say like, it's 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. He doesn't actually know a.m. p.m. So he goes, it's 6 dot dot m.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, cool. But he asked the other day if he could watch trucks because we have screen time every day, but it has to be after 5.
Okay.
And so I say, you know, he's like, Mom, can I watch trucks? And I was like, what is it after 5? He was like, let me go check my time machine.
Let me go check my time machine.
Yes.
That is so cute.
He also flat out lies to me. Now that you're talking about it, he looks me in the eye and he will lie.
I mean, I think every kid's first lie, correct me if I'm wrong, internet, I'm not wrong, is about poop in their diaper. Do you have poop in your diaper?
No. Every morning.
Yes, you do.
Every morning.
I smell something. I'll be like, do you just need one more minute with your poopy diaper? Uh-huh. One minute. Okay. And then we're changing it. That's their first lie. They learned that one really early.
Oh, yeah. No.
No.
And he does this thing where he says, I don't want to.
Oh.
I don't want to.
Yeah, that's the teenager.
And I'll be like, okay, well, we need to get the poop out of your diaper now. Uh-huh. I'm just going to change you real quick. And he goes, I don't want to.
No. I'm sorry you don't want to, Wes. Yeah, we do have to change
it. We got to do it anyway.
But I acknowledge that you don't want to.
I don't want to.
But it's not healthy or safe to keep that poop in your diaper for a long time. No.
And, you know, it's not good for any of us.
No.
And then he has amazing comedic timing. This child. Yes. I mean, he gets it from Ned, I'm sure.
Yes, 100%.
Sure. But already?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he'll do this thing where, like, oh, he does impressions of people?
No.
Yes, he does impressions of people. So
what?
When I get mad at him, uh-huh. I will say, like, okay, this is over. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if he does something in the bath that mm-hmm. is inappropriate, or like, mm-hmm. you know, he's like splashing water out, and because he gets a little crazy, and and so he'll do that, and mm-hmm. I'll be like, I asked you to stop. Bath time is over now.
Mm-hmm.
And last night we were in the bath, everything was going great, and he just looks at me and he goes, bath time is over.
That's what I look and sound like. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no.
I said, are you pretending to be mommy? He goes, uh-huh. Bath time is over.
Oh, my God.
You've got to be joking. And he does it with other things, too.
Yeah. So funny.
Like, he'll impersonate Ned sometimes as well, mm-hmm. where like with Science Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
He was wandering around the house going, Science Daddy!
So cute.
If anybody listening hasn't checked out Science Daddy on IGTV, yeah. Oh, my God.
AKA Wes eating candy for 3 minutes.
Wes eating candy for 3 whole minutes, yes. Or playing with mm-hmm. shaving cream or mm-hmm. something.
That's very good.
He actually loves being on camera. And I feel like we're creating a monster.
You might be.
I think we may be. I'm considering, like, there's got to be an age when it's like, all right, do we want to do this or not?
Oh, I think that's 100% fair.
Yeah. And even if he does want to do it, I'm like,
but do I want you to do it?
Yeah, exactly. He's getting to that age. Maybe when he goes to preschool, things will be a little bit more normal, you know, because there's just a lot of cameras around.
There are a lot of cameras around, and he's around, and and Science Daddy would not. Ned doing Science Daddy solo, no Wes, is creepy.
No, that's just weird.
Yeah, that's super weird. We can't do that.
Yeah. No, I agree. That would just be really strange.
He can move on to Finn, though.
Yes. Well.
Sweet little Finn.
I think with Finn, I'm going to try not to give him as much sugar.
Right.
You know, like, second kid, you get a second chance at the...
At parenting.
You totally do. I feel like at this point,
uh-huh.
you know, Wes is a lost cause.
Uh-huh. Wes is a lost cause.
When it comes to sugar.
He's eating nerds all day long.
When it comes to sugar. We can't...
Poop's still in his diaper.
We can't not, like, you know... The kid is obsessed with sugar now. It's like...
Right. You broke the seal.
We broke the seal.
You can't go back.
We absolutely cannot go back. Now, if we go, like, to the coffee shop on a Sunday or something, he has to have a chocolate croissant.
He has to.
And he actually says it like that. He goes, I need it.
I also condition the girls to have a Pavlovian response to our coffee shop where they want, if they are with us going in, they want a muffin, a strawberry muffin.
Wow.
And in fact, I think Poppy's first word was muff.
Muff. Muffin.
Muff.
I need it.
She doesn't have many words, but she needs a muffin, so she learned how to say it.
Oh, my God.
Whoopsie.
Yeah.
You just do it like 8 times in a row and it's over. You're like, oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, great. Oh, man. Toddlers never forget. They don't.
No.
They don't ever forget. You do it one time and then the next day it's like, we can't get... I'm just talking about all the things that we have, that Wes has done one time, and now he does it every time.
Every time?
Every single time. Like, before bath, mm-hmm. we'll be like, okay, time to go potty. Mm-hmm. And he'll be like, nope, I'm going in the bath. he chooses to pee in the bath rather than in the potty. And I'm
and
like...
And it's a choice that you've decided is okay.
You know, you gotta pick your battles. Yeah. And that's just one that I am not willing to pick.
Yep.
You know, it's like, it's not that different.
No, I mean, the girls fully pee in the bath every time they get in. They're not making the choice to do so yet. It's just warm water, full bellies. It just happens.
I mean, I pee in the bath.
Yeah.
I just say that right now. Don't get in a hot tub with me, guys.
You don't pee in the hot tub.
No, I don't pee in the hot tub. I mean, I think about it.
I've peed in a bath or two. It happens, you know.
But it really does. Like my bath.
Do you pee when you sneeze?
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Oh, good job.
Okay.
How did you fix that? Because if I sneeze and I haven't felt the sneeze coming on, uh-huh. it's not like, oh, I have to change my pants. But it's like, I could use to change my underwear.
100%. Like, it's a little warm down there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you're like jumping around dancing to Lady Gaga with the girls. And you're like, oh, no, I should go pee real quick. Okay, I can't do this with a mildly full bladder.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, so it was the worst when I was pregnant.
That's a whole
different.
It's
like pushing on your bladder, mm-hmm. and I felt like I had to pee all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like after I gave birth, my bladder just like expanded. And
you can hold more liquid?
I can hold more liquid.
Oh.
Yeah. Crazy, right? I know.
That is crazy.
But I do Kegels. I do. When I'm not even thinking about it, too.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be sitting at my desk, and I'll be like... doing Kegels.
Oh, there we go. Okay. That's so nice.
I was chatting with my OB about like pelvic floor stuff.
I know. I feel like I should have done pelvic floor therapy. Everyone should do pelvic floor therapy. It was not recommended to me, but it should be part of postpartum care.
Absolutely.
Because why am I peeing when I sneeze now 2 years later? That seems not correct.
Right. Also, like, what is postpartum care?
There's a 6-week checkup where they clear you for exercise and sex. Ain't nobody ready for exercise and sex.
Ain't nobody ready for exercise and sex.
No one's sleeping. Like, no.
Honestly, like,
we're not ready.
I'm lucky that I got to that 6-week appointment. Yeah.
I think right after that 6-week appointment, we like had sex once and I was like, oh, absolutely not.
Not ready. Not ready.
No. It's going to be a while.
Okay. Talking about how your bodies are different.
Yes.
Sex is different.
Sex is different.
It's kind of like a...
And the first time post baby is so scary.
Yeah.
I was like...
Absolutely. Because it's like how... What if I'm
what
not
is that gonna feel
ready
like?
Down
what
there?
What if I'm not ready?
And it's not that it's not that we had a ton of trauma or anything like that.
Yeah, I had a very tough birth story, but everyone does. Everyone gets something. But I didn't have like huge tears mm-hmm. or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like at 6 weeks, you and your babies. Still think you're a part of the same body.
Yes.
And you're still healing.
Yeah.
And you're still not like out of like a psychological, emotional, or physical place where you aren't like pretty wrapped up in like pregnancy and postpartum.
Yeah.
And 6 weeks is just not enough time.
It's not.
I feel like some male doctor decided that a million years ago and everyone signed off on it.
That, even like, if you're like physically you're healthy enough and you're healed.
Yeah. But you're healed enough, but like
particularly psychologically.
Yeah. And I think a lot of women feel very I won't speak for all women. I myself, especially at 6 weeks, but even sometimes continuously to this day, feel touched out. Like I have babies all over me.
Yeah.
And I love holding them and playing with them and tickling mm-hmm. them and romping around and carrying them and dancing with them, rocking them to sleep. Mm-hmm. And that touch is like enough. Mm-hmm. I do not need an additional like touch from someone else, because then it suddenly feels like something's being taken from me that's very personal, which mm-hmm. is like more of my time, more of my body, more of my energy.
Absolutely. I love that you can talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I have had the exact same experience.
Where you're like, oh, I have to give to another person now.
I am just touched out.
And I'm like, I've expended all of the physical energy I can for the day for other people.
Just need to keep some for myself.
I need to keep a little for myself. And also I need to sleep.
Yeah.
I need to eat and sleep and drink some water.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Like, I just don't feel like my needs are being met. So to meet the needs of another person, even someone as wonderful and darling and understanding and dear to me as my husband.
Who I am still sexually attracted to
and deeply in love with. But I got to keep something for myself. Yeah.
This was something that Ned and I struggled with after Wes.
Yeah.
Where I was touched out. That is the best description of it. Where, you know, you're feeding babies. Mm-hmm. You're every 3 hours at the least.
Yeah.
You are like, you're giving everything. You're mm-hmm. you're like, you're holding them. You're holding them here. You're like, it's so much.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I couldn't explain to Ned what I needed.
Right.
And I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I didn't want to hurt his feelings by saying like, this isn't what I want. This isn't what I need right now. I care for you and I understand that you have needs too.
Yep.
But I can't meet those needs for you right now.
I can't meet those needs right now. And it's really hard because you want to hold on to your relationship and not let it change.
Mm-hmm.
Much like you want to hold on to your body and not let it change.
Yeah.
But it is changing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, a lot of non-birthing partners, mm-hmm. I imagine all kinds of non-birthing partners are like, wait, but it's changing without my consent.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, it's changing without my consent too, but here we are, I still can't.
Yeah. This is something that I'm sure that Ned will want to talk about because, mm-hmm. you know, as the non-birthing partner,
yeah.
he absolutely went through this period where he was things were completely out of his control.
Mm-hmm.
And not by choice. He wanted to be there and he wanted things mm-hmm. to be the same.
Right. I'm sure lots of non-birthing partners, but men especially who haven't like mm-hmm. gone through the same kind of physical change as a birthing partner feel. And you have to remember, dads and non-birthing partners are postpartum too.
Absolutely.
They have hormonal changes.
Yes.
They absolutely do. So I think they're craving this connection in a way mm-hmm. that is very valid, but birthing partners sometimes just can't give that.
Yeah.
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 You know, you've been holding children all day. You've been feeding them. You have barely had time to shower or eat or take care of yourself. You finally put them down. Sometimes they're still sleeping like in your room at this point. They're very young.
Absolutely.
And your husband walks over and he like starts rubbing your back or like puts his arm around your waist and you're like, oh, hell no.
Oh, no.
And he's like, do you want to just, you know, or during nap time, he'll be like, do you want to take a nap? And I'm like, no, I know what that means.
I know.
Or sometimes I'll be like, yes, but on the sofa.
Yeah. Yeah.
By myself.
Absolutely.
I know what that means. He's like, yeah, but don't you think that would. And to me, it just sometimes feels like, no, that's for you. For me, I just need a minute.
I want to take a nap on the couch by myself.
Yeah. Or I want to take a shower or I want to make food or I want to scroll Instagram.
Yes. I want to like conk out.
Yeah. I just want to like be.
Yeah. I want to not think about having a connection with somebody right now.
Yeah. I want to be disconnected.
Absolutely. But, you know, as the non-birthing partner, they're going through like this whole change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I honestly think that when, you know, with both of our kids, that those first few months are mm-hmm. so tender and wonderful because mm-hmm. you're really forming a connection with the baby. And we were very lucky. Ned was able to stay home. And
us too. Watts was on mm-hmm. Paternity leave.
Yeah.
I mean, he's freelance, so we just had him not work for 4 months.
Right.
But like we were home together all the time. You're right. It is very, and he was in the trenches with me and it's very sweet. But then I think he bless him, could still get it up for nighttime happiness. And I was like, no.
The connectedness was almost like a turn on.
Yeah.
Because we were together so much. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, the babies are finally asleep. Let's, now it's just you and me.
Yeah.
And
but
I'm
those
like,
postpartum hormones are just like, no. Please. I love you.
Alone.
And I want to love you forever. And I want our relationship to stay intact and good. But I also want to go to sleep right now.
Yes. I just
It's so hard.
Sleep.
It's so hard to navigate.
Or eat or just
I feel like we're still
out.
Navigating it a little bit 2 years later.
That's just relationships.
That's just relationships. And, you know, kids change your relationships.
Yeah, they do. They do. Kids change your relationships. Time changes your relationships.
Yeah.
Jobs. I mean, everything changes a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's it's funny, you know. Ned and I have a very strong relationship. You and Watts mm-hmm. have a very strong relationship. And I feel like we didn't recognize that mm-hmm. it, like, change was hard.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it wasn't until we had Wes that we were really tested.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It was tough. That was really, really tough. And it all, you know, it's funny. I was just... When we were talking about this, it went through my head that it does come back to body image.
A lot of it comes back to body image. Because if I don't feel grounded and rooted in, like, a happiness with how I feel and look, then I don't feel like participating in, like, showing that to even my husband, other people. Like,
exactly.
You know, it's really tough.
Yeah.
And feeling better about yourself makes you feel better about being with other people.
Absolutely.
I did the most revolutionary thing this past weekend, which you know about, which is I took a whole day. I've never done this, but I took a whole day in 2 years. I've never done this to drive up to Ojai. That's an hour and a half in the car for you non-Californians. Then I went and got cupping, acupuncture, a massage, and a facial, all from the same practitioner in, like, one little studio. And then I drove an hour and a half home, and I stopped by the beach on the way. And when I got home, I was like, oh, my husband, oh, my children, I love you. Oh, wow. Oh, hi, guys. What are we doing for dinner? Oh. It was just like... being by myself all day and unattached to work or family, just listening to Crime Junkies and eating a breakfast burrito in the car alone
just
was
doing my thing.
Chef's kiss.
Yes.
Because I don't leave them. I mean, I do leave them to come to work.
Right.
But then I'm, like, accounted for and attached to at work. I was describing to Watts one day how I wanted to go somewhere, and especially with the pandemic, like, there's no more, like, you don't pop by a store to shop. You don't, like, go get coffee with a friend. I don't leave my house except for work.
Yeah. You're never alone.
You're never not attached to something. I was describing to Watts, I was like, I just want to go somewhere and have no one know where I am. Like, I just want to be, it could be a park near our house. I just want to be out and have work not know. Mm-hmm. And the nanny and my husband and my kids not know mm-hmm. where I am. And he was like, where do you want to go? Also, you should tell us where you are just so you're safe and everything.
That's, like, not the point.
I was like, I'm not going on the lam. I just, every second of my day is accounted for.
Yeah.
And if I ever, like last week, we ran out of dog food because we're great dog parents. And I was coming home. And I had to stop by Rosie Bunny Bean, which is the cutest name ever, for a little dog shop, or a little pet shop in our neighborhood, to pick up dog food. And I was late, and all of a sudden the nanny was texting me. And I was like, 10 minutes of my day unaccounted for. And bless her, she had a online class to get to. Like, you know, but all of a sudden I was driving home. I was like, oh, shit, Clem needs food. I was like, I took an extra 10 minutes, and people are like, where are you?
Oh, boy.
And that feeling just weighs on you.
Absolutely. It totally, totally does. There is not a minute of my day that I am not, like... And I also feel like if I do take time mm-hmm. to do something else, mm-hmm. then I almost feel like somebody's going to ask me, well, what were you doing with that time?
Yeah. Well, and I felt guilty that I was late for Nanny Rachel. You know, like, I just... There's a lot of, like... I don't know, guilt yeah. associated guilt. With stuff.
It's yeah. all it's all guilt. Like if I'm not working mm-hmm. or cleaning mm-hmm. or feeding mm-hmm. or, you know, like watching kids, mm-hmm. then what are you doing? Yeah.
I'm putting on my candle, looking through my catalog,
yeah.
sipping some wine by myself.
Give me a minute.
I just need a minute.
Like Ned and I joke about this all the time, actually, that the only time mm-hmm. that we get to ourselves is pooping.
Pooping.
Yes. We have taken to announcing to
the family,
everybody around.
Excuse me.
I am going to take a poop now. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be gone for 20 minutes. Do not bother me. I need privacy. Well, I'm going to be scrolling on my phone and maybe pooping
I've
for 60 seconds
this
of that.
Up. Part of our non-potty training, we're not really potty training the girls, is that I Watching. Have let them come into the bathroom for anything and everything. They know what a tampon is. They know it's only for grown-ups.
Oh, yeah.
But I let them come into the bathroom because I am, you know, showing them
right.
what happens. They pull out the toilet paper for me. It's a whole thing. So pooping is no longer sacred.
What do you have?
I mean, sometimes if nanny's Rachel is there or Watts is there and I shower, I take my phone into the shower. Is that so bad?
I have never heard of that.
That's so bad.
You're just so is it that you're in the shower scrolling on your phone?
Sometimes I order groceries on my phone in the shower. Sometimes I scroll Instagram. Sometimes I've bought baby clothes. A lot of times I listen to a podcast. But there's like a ledge that doesn't get wet. Mostly.
You're like scrolling on the ledge. That's hilarious.
It's just like, this is the time I have.
Yeah.
And I'll always, here's the thing, I'll tell a little white lie about it, which is I'll be like, oh, I did a hair mask.
Wow, I shaved my legs.
I'm confessing so many things I haven't confessed. I look first trimester pregnant. I bring my phone into the shower sometimes.
Hey. These are all very normal things.
Are they?
Very normal things.
Oh, boy.
It could be much, much worse.
Oh, have you ever been home alone uh-huh. during maternity leave?
With kids.
With kids. And it's like noon, it's 1 p.m., they're asleep, and you're a little bored. And you're like, I wonder what it would be like to open a bottle of wine.
Absolutely.
Is that alcoholism? Should we talk about it?
You know, I think that there is a difference between like needing wine.
Oh, yes.
And needing to feel like an adult.
So we talked about this the other day. First of all, I was very inspired by a friend of mine who, when she was on maternity leave with her son, and I live around the corner from her. And in the beginning, I would come over and like walk her dog and stuff just to help her out. And she was like, you want a margarita? And I was like, okay.
What? It's 2 p.m.
All right. But we were talking about this the other day. There is something about a hot cup of coffee or a cold glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
Seriously.
That makes being with your kids in the early morning or the late evening feel more enjoyable. And I was like, why is that? Is it that I just have this inherent need for coffee, which uh-huh. I fully do, but do I have a need for coffee and a need for wine? And is that problematic? Or there's this lovely descriptor in How Not to Hate Your Husband After Kids, mm-hmm. this book that we both love.
And we will
and
be
we're foreshadowing. Yeah. We're going to interview the author coming up. But Jancine Dunn writes about, and she's like, she writes about this mom who's upstairs with her teenage son and they're having this all out brawl. They're just yelling back and forth at each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a real moment. He's 14. She's his mom. And she walks downstairs and NPR's on the radio. Her husband, who's wearing, I'll never forget it, crisp shirt sleeves rolled up, is stirring a tomato sauce on the oven. And silently, he just hands her a poured glass of cold wine. And she re-enters the adult world
yeah.
and is soothed by the balm of like the calmness of adulthood.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you have two toddlers trying their best to communicate their new feelings and emotions to you, and they can't, and they're getting frustrated, and they're just, you know, they have a lot of needs, and they need you to both hold them or whatever. if someone hands me a glass of wine, it is a tether to the adult world.
That's
where
it.
I'm like, this is a symbol of enjoyable, like, adult time. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel more connected to, like, I'm not a toddler. I'm grounded in my, like, grown-upness.
It makes me feel like me.
Yeah.
And not,
it's so interesting.
Not like somebody who is only here for like the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel exactly the same way about hot coffee
and
cold wine. It's like,
it's morning and night. Those are also witching hours for children.
Exactly.
So they're particularly hard.
And it's that time where that you're spending with kids when, you know, there sometimes isn't an end in sight.
Yes. You know? And you just woke up, or they really need to go to bed. It's
exactly.
End of day. And there's just something about it that makes it feel more fun. And I don't know if that's problematic or not, because I have a really hard time with the concept of, like, mommy juice and mm-hmm. needing alcohol to deal with the anxiety of kids. I think that is hugely problematic, and that culture is very toxic.
And I do think it's a fine line.
And there is a fine line, but there is something about, like, I also get it, although I can't always follow it. I also get it if I am cooking in the kitchen, which I usually really love, and my kids are playing and I can turn on a podcast and listen. I also feel that same sort of mm-hmm. soothingness, but I almost always end up pausing it too many times because I have to talk to them and then I can't follow the podcast.
Right. Yeah.
But then
you just get frustrated.
And you get frustrated, but there's something to that as well.
Yeah. There are certainly alternatives to wine.
Yes, there are.
Yeah, but one more thing that I wanted to say mm-hmm. is I can't drink cold coffee anymore. Isn't that weird? I used to be able to drink lukewarm coffee.
No matter what?
Yeah, like, no big deal. It's
but
been sitting
it's
in the cup.
It's turned on you.
I have to heat it up, and I have to have
hot. Do you microwave
hot,
it?
Hot, I do. I microwave my coffee.
No!
Yeah.
Ariel, Miles and I are recoiling
I know.
Inside.
I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
I don't care what I'm not a coffee snob. Not that you guys are coffee snobs.
Miles and I are fully coffee snobs, and there's no problem with that in my book because bad coffee is very bad. It's really bad.
I mean, I have definitely not drank bad coffee before. Like, mm-hmm. I've had a cup of coffee and I'm like, no. But I'm not a coffee snob, and I will microwave my coffee so that it is piping hot, so that I can just sit on,
like,
hot coffee and be a grown-ass woman.
Christmas or birthdays, when we, like, set out gifts for the girls, I will make Watson and I get up a little bit earlier than we know they're going to get up, set an alarm so that I can make coffee before they get up so I can fully enjoy the morning having my coffee and, like, watching my kids open gifts. I guess that's just coffee. But, you know, I think that's all we have for today for our mom.
You and I could just gab for hours, and we probably will continue to talk about this.
Ned, go ahead. Stay on your show.
Yeah, you do you, honey. We'll just keep talking about this. We are running out of time, but this is not the end of this conversation because it just continues. You know, it's a journey.
Maybe we'll get Ned's take on this.
I would actually love to get Ned's take on this. Maybe mm-hmm. I might have Ned listen to this and he can tell us a little bit more about how it feels from the perspective of a non-birthing partner.
I think that's only fair.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time.